This morning we come to the eighth and ninth plague, which the Lord strikes Egypt with. We read Exodus chapter 10 in its entirety as we continue our preaching series through this portion of God's holy word. May the Lord give each of us ears to hear. This is God's word. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called to Moses and said, Go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, You have spoken well. I will never see your face again. Having heard God's word, what is your response? Amen. Dear people of God, the analysts of our day seek to slice and dice. That is, they seek to divide the last 125 years of American history into seven different generations. You can hear ones speak about the greatest generation, those born between the years of 1901 and 1927. There then is the silent generation, which followed after that, the boomer generation, Generation X, the millennial generation, Generation Z, and Generation Alpha, and even the analysts of today say that starting in 2025, there is Generation Beta, which is well on its way. Now, we hear these things, and we understand to some extent the analyzing of the past 125 years, seeking to identify different characteristics of each one of these generations, different desires, maybe different focus, maybe different wants amongst these different groups of people, maybe even different so-called needs. It is a marketing thing which is actually at the root of this. How can we target our audience most effectively in order to sell them our goods? It is a strategizing. It is a strategizing idea where our message changes based upon whom we are targeting. That, in one real sense, is why there is this divvying up of the last 125 years, and particularly here the last five generations, which are predominantly still living, why there is this divvying up. But what about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you've even read certain things or heard certain things. Well, how do we reach the millennials, or how do we reach Generation X or Generation Z? Should we modify the message so that we can more effectively reach various people groups born at different times and in different years? Well, as we come to God's word today, we recognize that every generation has the same fundamental needs when it comes to the truth of who God is, who we are in relationship to Him, and what we desperately need. Every generation has the same fundamental needs, and therefore, every generation needs the same fundamental message. This is the emphasis, even as Exodus chapter 10 opens. There is a needed singular message for each and every generation, for you, for your children's children, even to a thousand generations. That is the emphasis which is here. And today, as we look at Exodus chapter 10 together, the Lord puts on display. He puts on display His mighty works for you and your children's children, even unto a thousand generations. That's what God here would point out to us in this chapter, that He puts on display His mighty works for you and your children and your grandchildren, even to 1,000 generations. Well, how do we see this? How do we see this in Exodus chapter 10? Well, first of all, there is a progression. Secondly, there is an inclusion. And lastly, there is an absolute devotion. And we want to think about each of these today as the Lord puts on display His mighty works for you, your children, your grandchildren, even unto 1,000 generations. First of all, there is a progression which gets you and me to Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants. Why? That I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." There's actually a progression which gets us to this emphasis in verses 1 and 2. The first sign and wonder that God had done in raising up His wrath against Pharaoh was to turn the waters of the Nile River into blood. And it was in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 17 that God said He had a purpose in that. And His purpose was that Pharaoh would learn something. In fact, we read, "By this you shall know, you Pharaoh, shall know that I am the Lord." In the second sign and wonder, the second plague of the frogs, God specifically said in chapter 8 and verse 10, to Pharaoh, specifically to Pharaoh, "Let it be according to your word that you Pharaoh, may know that there is no one like the Lord our God." God was giving Pharaoh an education, and He had a purpose in these plagues which were coming upon Pharaoh and his domain. And He was teaching Pharaoh. In the fourth plague, again, there is a word to Pharaoh in Exodus 8 and verse 22. "And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you, Pharaoh, may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land." Again, this instruction is specifically for Pharaoh, the one who in defiance has set himself against the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the seventh plague, which we looked at last Lord's Day, the plague of hail, which destroyed much of the land of Egypt, God gives three reasons as to what He is up to. He says in verse 14 of chapter 9, "That you, Pharaoh, may know that there is none like me in all the earth. I have raised you up," God says in verse 16, "that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth." And then in verse 29, God had said unto Pharaoh at the end, "that you may know, you Pharaoh, that the earth is the Lord's." Now all of this, right? All of this has been an education for Pharaoh, for one who does not claim to know the Lord. Well, he's learning very quickly who the Lord is. But all of this is progressing us to get to something different with now the eighth plague, with now the plague of locusts. And now God's people who almost seem to have been sitting on the sidelines, God's people who almost seem to have been silent observers, God's people, the ones who are called by the name of the Lord, the ones who have the promise of God in the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are informed. that there is education necessary for them. Not just Pharaoh needs to learn something, but you, my people, need to be ones who are learning. There's a directional shift from Pharaoh to you. And that's what we see in these opening verses of Exodus chapter 10. You've been on the sidelines. You've been watching and witnessing, hearing and seeing as spectators. No more. This is not just a crash course for Pharaoh, his servants, and his people. This is a course for you as well. And here God directly addresses his people. There's something that I am up to that I want you to take note of, to learn, and to teach diligently to your son, your son's son, your son's son's son, unto 1,000 generations. I want you to so learn that you faithfully proclaim who I am and what I have done unto the generations to come. And God shows in this that his 10 plagues against Egypt aren't just for the 15th century BC. His mighty works in the 15th century BC had a trickle effect, indeed a reverberating effect, to the 21st century AD. To you and me, even today. I told you this at the beginning, God could say. I told you this at the beginning, that I was going to be teaching you. I was going to be teaching you who I am and what I am doing, so that you would learn it for yourselves and teach it to your children. But interestingly, back in Exodus chapter 6, the descendants of Abraham wouldn't listen. They closed their ears to what the Lord had said. We even read of it back in Exodus chapter 6. Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel in verse 9, but they did not listen to Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. God had prefaced all of this with, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you more than you've ever known about me by my mighty works, that you would be a people who love me, trust me, worship me, and not that just you would be so, but that your children and your children's children and your children's children's children would do so as well. And so now God says, though you would not hear before, now that you have seen 7 of my mighty signs and wonders, now you must hear. And not only must you hear, but your son and your son's son must hear also. In fact, you must not fail to tell your children and grandchildren what I have done, what I am doing, and what I shall do. You must not fail to tell them who I am. The mighty things which only I can do. Water into blood, frogs all over the place, lice all over everybody, swarms of flies, livestock falling dead, boils upon the skin, hail which falls from heaven, locust plagues which you've never seen before, darkness which can be felt. These are my mighty acts. And you must see them, and you must tell of them. The mighty things of God must be told, and the merciful I am must be proclaimed. Think about it. God has made a distinction in a number of the plagues. He's made a distinction where some of the weight of God's hand has not fallen upon his promised people. He has shown mercy unto them, even though they wouldn't hear. Even though they closed their ears to God, God has shown mercy. We who would not hear have been shown mercy, even as the Lord Yahweh has shown us what justly comes to those who will not hear. Think about that. This is what God's people are seeing. This is what they've seen for 7 destructive plagues. God says, this is what happens to people who won't hear, who set themselves in defiance to me, but I've shown mercy to you. To you who interestingly have closed your ears to me. And now God says, open up your ears. Do not be like Pharaoh and harden your heart or be hardened by me. No. Open up your ears and hear and open up your mouths and speak. Indeed, tell the mighty things I have done and tell of me the merciful great I am, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to 1,000 generations. That's what God says. I'm doing this. Indeed, I'm sustaining Pharaoh so that I can multiply my plagues. It was always God's plan for 10 plagues. The fullness of his hand against sin and sinners. And God says, tell it to the generations to come. Tell your story. Tell your story of how you have been spared personally, of how you have experienced mercy from God Almighty personally. Tell your story of God's patience and long-suffering with you. Tell your story of how you have been spared from the wrath to come, all because of God's sovereign mercy, not because you deserved it. Tell your story. Tell your story to your children. Tell your story to your grandchildren. Tell your story to your great-grandchildren. Open up your mouth. Speak. Tell them your story as your story combines with my story. That's what God is saying. That's what God is saying. As the Lord puts on display his mighty works for you and your children and your grandchildren to 1,000 generations. Fathers and mothers, are you telling the story to your children? Grandfathers and grandmothers, are you telling the story to your grandchildren? Are you setting the stage for them to tell the story to their children? You see, this is what God has as an intention. We might ask, well, how do you do this? What does that look like? What are we to do, Pastor, if God tells us that we are to be a people who tell the story, our own personal story as it intersects with God's great redemptive story? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes it quite plain. We read in verse 4, as Israel has been brought out of Egypt, as Israel has trekked their way for 40 years through the wilderness and stand at the doorstep of entering into the promised land, listen to what God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Indeed, Deuteronomy chapter 6 goes on and says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and his household. And he showed mercy to us. This is who we are. All because the Lord has delighted to show mercy to us by His sovereign grace. And God says, tell the story. Indeed, the story has progressed right to this point. Now, if you're going to tell the story to your children, to your grandchildren, and they to tell the story to their children, and their children, and their children, you need to be intentional. You need to be purposeful in telling the story unto them. Now, I give you a little bit of advice. It's much better, and I speak here to the fathers especially, but also to the mothers. It's much better to be regular in exposing your children to the Word of God, regular and short, than irregular and long. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's much better to read God's Word around the family table for 4 minutes together every day than once a week on Saturday to have a 3-hour long session. Just some advice. Maybe I had to learn that the hard way. Much better to be regular when you rise up, when you sit down, when you lie down, in whatsoever you do, speak to your children and to your children's children of the mighty things I have done and the merciful God that I am. Oh, yes, we understand that it is the living out of our faith which is often caught more than merely our words which are taught. We need to live out the faith. We need to teach the faith. And it's not an either or. It's a both and. We need to do both. And this is what God says. I'm doing these signs. Indeed, I'm multiplying my signs. Indeed, I am multiplying them to the fullness so that you would see what sin and sinners deserve and what mercy I've shown to you that it may be taught to your children in word and indeed. Well, how? Well, the living God is active by His living Word in our hearts, made alive by the loving Savior as we come with that Word to our children. And think about it. The big questions are all abounding. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the meaning of life? Is there a God who rules over all? How may I know Him? What does He require of me? These are the big questions which every human being deep down inside is asking. And you need to see to it that your children are getting the God-inspired answers to those questions. Open up and read. Be diligent in your homes. Take the Word of God. Don't depend merely upon bringing your children to worship the public assembly. Bring your children to worship to the public assembly. But you can't depend merely upon 1 hour and 15 minutes a week. That is not sufficient. Your children will see a disconnect between 1 hour and 15 minutes on the Lord's Day and the rest of the week. You cannot depend upon your Sunday school teachers to teach your children. Bring your children. Take advantage of the discipleship ministry of the church. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Volunteer as Sunday school teachers. All that is necessary, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Not only is Moses to be one who tells the story, every father and mother is to be a storyteller. Not a storyteller telling a big fat lie, the story of truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And it is here then that the Lord puts on display His mighty works for you, your children, your grandchildren, unto 1,000 generations. I've taken much longer with this first point than I had anticipated. But it is so important that we see this here, that we understand why God demonstrates His mighty works. And as this first plague unfolds, it's very interesting to me. It's very interesting that there is another component part which is, as it were, coming out new in the eighth plague of the locusts. And I call it that there's inclusion, an inclusion which maybe was behind the scenes before, but it's brought out front and center as God confronts Pharaoh again, confronts his pride and the hardness of his heart and hardens his heart even through the word, through Moses. Ask the question, how long? How long will you oppose me in defiance? It's brought out here, even as the court of Pharaoh begins to wonder if Pharaoh's policy is working out real well. Now they're shrewd. They don't want their heads cut off, right? And they say, how long will this man, Moses, be the problem? When really they're saying under their breath, Pharaoh, you're the problem. Let the men go. And so Pharaoh seems to, as it were, get to the point of backing down. In fact, what do we read? We read here in this passage, right in chapter 10, in verse number 8, go, serve the Lord. But who are the ones who are going? And it's actually doubled up in the Hebrew. Who? Who's going? And here, there's something which is profound, which God sets forth in Moses' answer. We will go to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord. We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. There's an inclusion here. Pharaoh, what does he view? He views the women and the children as unnecessary. Just let the men go. And this is just like Satan himself. He'll let you serve the Lord, but he wants your children. He wants your children. And he's not willing to give them up. He's not willing to give up your wife. We generally think of women and children as being weaker and needing protection. Now the women today say, oh, we don't need any protection. Well, that's hogwash. Men who are transformed by the grace of God are called to protect the women and children. Pharaoh says, you can go, but I'll keep your wives and your children. Here is the devil attacking the very promise of God. I will be a God unto you and to your children after you. Don't miss it. Here is the devil saying, women and children don't count. I will prey upon that which is most precious and vulnerable to you. But the Lord does not negotiate with Pharaoh. He dictates. He doesn't negotiate at all. My people, the Lord says, include the young and the old, the male and the female. From the oldest to the youngest, from the youngest to the oldest, my people will serve me. Now hear that. I want to speak to the young people here today. I want to speak to all the young children here today. Do you hear what God says to you? God says to you, Christianity isn't just for your parents. God says to you, Christianity isn't just for adults. God says to you, Christianity isn't just for grown-ups. God says that you are my people, and I call upon you to serve me according to your capacity and maturity level. Why do we encourage children to be in the worship service? Sometimes we might think, well, they're a distraction, or they're loud, or anything along those lines. And we do have a nursery which is well-staffed, and we make use of it, and parents who desire to make use of it, we commend you for that. But we also gladly welcome the children into the worship service. Let my people go that they may serve me. Huh? God is bringing his people out, not just to set them free to worship. And children, why do we want you in the worship service? Why do we say that you belong here? Why do we say that the word of God is for you? Because God says it. God says it to you, children. You're mine. My covenant promise is yours. I will be a God unto your parents and to you. I've given you special privilege. I've given you the oracles of God. And I draw you to myself tenderly with the cords of love. Will you not respond with loving faith and faithful love unto me? Yes. Yes. The young, the old, the male, the female, they shall be set free to worship and serve me. What an encouragement. What hope. Set free to draw near to God. There is a place for the children here at First Church of Merrimack. And I can't say that loud enough. There's a place for you, children, here at First Church of Merrimack, because God says there's a place for you. God says there is a place for you. You know, even the disciples of Jesus messed up here. They rebuked people for wanting to bring their children, even their infants, unto Jesus, that Jesus would bless them. They rebuked them, said, go away, you're a nuisance. Even the disciples fumbled the ball. And Jesus had to rebuke them. Let them come. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Do you hear the words of Jesus, children? Let them come. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. That's the word of Jesus. To you, young children, here today, what an encouragement. Oh, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The chief end of woman is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The chief end of boys is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The chief end of girls is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Don't miss it. Don't miss it in this passage. Pharaoh fights against it. The locust plague comes. Locust, 2.5 inches long. But when they come, 200 to 300 million, a hair's breadth apart, blocking out the light of the sun, descending to strip all bare. God's not negotiating. The children are mine, God says. The children are mine. And you who have children who are straying, walking away from the faith, get on your knees, plead the promises. These children belong to you, Lord. They belong to you. Plead the promises. And so here our God, he puts on display his mighty works for you and your children and your grandchildren to 1,000 generations. Pharaoh doesn't get it. He and all of Egypt get it when the plague comes. Stripped bare, stripped naked, all hopes crumble. God says, you've sown the wind and you shall reap the whirlwind. But not my people, who are called by my name, who humble themselves and confess their sins and call upon me and draw near to me in my beloved son who was stripped naked, who endured darkness like no darkness, the outer darkness, for you. You see, here's our hope. There's no reason why God shows us mercy except for His unfathomable love. We don't naturally have ears to hear. We close our ears. Ah, but God has opened your ears today, I trust. Opened your eyes today, I trust. Even the little children here today, eyes open, ears open, hear the word of God. Let my people go, that they may serve me, that they may worship me. Now I've got another 25 minutes to go. I'll be kind. I'll bring it to a close. It's taking a little longer than I thought. But this is so important. We cannot miss it. The Lord has chosen to put on display His just opposition to sin and sinners, so that we would revel in the mercy shown to us. And we would teach it to our children and our children's children. And we would plead it before the throne of grace. And we would see that there is one message which every generation so desperately needs to hear. There's not a different message for the boomers than for the millennials, or Generation X versus Generation Z. There's one message which every generation needs to hear. Who is the Lord? And what has He done? Yes, He has cast great judgments upon His foes, but He has sent His Son in the greatest work of all to suffer it all for us. Will you believe? Will you trust? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we come to You, we plead the promises that we are Your people, undeserving, deserving of the opposite, but You in Your love have spared us. You have connected our personal story with Your great redemptive story. And we pray for our children and our children's children unto 1,000 generations, that Your name would be proclaimed and Your glorious works in Your Son, Jesus Christ, would be declared from the housetops, from the mountains to all the earth, and that You would cause the knowledge of the Lord to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that You would be kind and merciful unto us, especially unto parents who see children who have gone astray, that You would remember Your promises, and that, Lord, You would act. It is time for You to act. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy according to Your loving kindness. And so protect the lambs of this flock. Watch over them. Give them wonder and delight that You are for them as well as for the old ones like us. Oh, great God, blessed be Your holy name forever and ever. May we worship You and praise You with our children and our children's children to 1,000 generations forever, all because of Jesus. Amen.